Revelation chapter 10. It is getting to be a lot of fun being in the book of Revelation. They tell me that most pastors won't even tackle this on Sunday morning. But I'm glad I'm not smart enough not to know I shouldn't tackle this on Sunday morning. Amen. Revelation, no S on Revelation. No S. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let's pray. Get me out the way and see what the Lord wants to say today. Father, we want to thank you so much for being our God and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, my prayer, as you know, is to move me out of the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, Lord, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Father, there is only one thing worth talking about, and that is what you have said. That which is true from you and what you will do. May we all leave totally different because your word has been preached today. In Jesus' name, we all say, you heard an amen, you know they're visiting, shake their hands. Revelation. We have been on the whole aspect of what God is going to do. What God is going to say to you and I through the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 was the past, 2 and 3 is the present, chapter 4 through 22 is the future. Today we're on chapter 10. We won't get to all of these verses that I'm going to read. As a matter of fact, we're probably only going to do verse 1 with some review coming back to help you understand where we're going from here and how important it is for you to be able to connect from one aspect of the book of Revelation to another. Chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little scroll open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, this is John, the apostle, writing as it has been dictated to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation himself. It was said from heaven unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things which are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophet. The thing that we have to come back and to focus on in the book of Revelation is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself and how he's going to be when he comes back to earth. He is not coming back again as the suffering servant. He's coming back as Lord, God, judge of all mankind that has rejected him. He is not coming back to take prisoners. He is not coming back to be liked. He's coming back in the glory that he's had from the beginning of time, that he will have from the end and to eternity. He's coming back saying, you rejected me, and now I'm going to show you what it's all about to reject the loving God when you had the opportunity. Now, how many of you have ever said something like, why? Maybe I need to be a little bit more clearer in what I'm asking. How many of you ever said, why me? God. Amen. How about this one? How long? oh Lord? Are you going to let the wicked prosper when you know how righteous I am? Lord, I mean, I know my neighbors don't love you the way I do. And they're always being blessed. A boy just pulled up here in a brand new BMW. And I can't even fix my Volkswagen, Jesus. How long is the wicked going to prosper? How long are you going to wait? You know what we're really saying is, God, I don't like your timing. Thank you. We're saying, God, I know that you're a loving God. Then you start telling him what he's like. You ever done that? Start quoting his word back to him to try to enhance his movement. God said, I want to let you know I am on my own time. My schedule belongs to me. And if you want to get along with me, you get on my schedule. Because when God turns loose his judgment in the book of Revelation, even the believer is going to say, when you're going to stop? We have never in our world seen anything like a God of judgment. And when he comes back as the triumphant God Almighty, things are going to hurt. People are going to hurt. And that's why as a church today, you and I need to learn how important it is for you and I to witness and not worry about what someone thinks. Because I guarantee you, when we are in heaven and judgment comes and God comes back on this earth and we come back to rule with him, I guarantee you it won't be anyone saying, boy, I wish you wouldn't have told me so much. Don't make the pastor fall off the... This means response. Amen. All right, so I need to get you guys fired up a little bit about what we've been talking about. Am I stuck again? Okay, there we go. More modern technology can stop the pastor in his tracks. Amen. I want you to go with me here to... Wrap me up, bro. Let's look at them trumpets. Now, I want you to understand something. We go through the book of Revelation. In the middle of God's greatest judgment, in the middle of his most devastating act towards human beings, towards the human race, right in the middle of some of the greatest catastrophic things that you can even think about, he shows his grace and love. Right in the middle of how vicious he's going to be. Now, that's the best word I can come up with, folks. We're talking about the fifth world power. There's only been four in all the world. And every one of those world powers, when they moved in to take over, was vicious. And God says they are nothing. They are like a Disney movie compared to what I'm going to be like when I march through here in the book of Revelation. Vicious is he in his judgment. And then we're going to see in the middle of his judgment, 21 campaigns he's going to put on the world, and each one of them he gives a little break so that you can comprehend that the world can see and hold on to. Now, there's great books out, and there's great movies out about believers. I want to say this correctly. About those that have heard the gospel after rapture is going to be able to accept Jesus Christ. That is not a biblical truth. If you have heard before rapture, God hardens your heart and you can't accept it. The only one that's going to be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation period is the 144,000 Jews that's going to lead those who've never heard to the gospel. Now, we've already established that. If you missed all those, you need to go back and get the tapes, because we got a lot of false teaching out there, and a lot of people say, well, you know, if I don't accept it now and I see some of this truth later on and I am caught up in the rapture, then I accept it. I want you to repeat after me a Greek phrase, an old Hebrew truism that proves them wrong. Would you like to hear what it is? So let's try. You can go home and tell your folks you learned Greek today. On three, let's try it. One, two, three. We see the first seven seals. Between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, chapter 7 was a break. God took an interlude between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, chapter 7. Here, we've gone through the six trumpets, and between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet is going to be a break. It's going to be an interlude. That's chapter 10 and half of chapter 11. Then we're going to go through the seven bowls, and between the sixth bowl and the seventh bowl, chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, it's going to be another break in the interlude. What God does is allow you to kind of catch your breath as you're reading about what he's like when he comes back. We saw the break when we went through the seals. The seventh seal was a revelation of the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet is going to be a revelation of the seven bowls. Now, we may not know who let the dogs out, but we know who got the dog bowls. Amen. Now, it's going to be God. So when we get to trumpet number one, all vegetation was destroyed. How much?
All.
The world's going to be like a desert. Trumpet number two. Sea turns to blood. Woo! Get the tape. Third trumpet. Rivers destroyed. Gonna throw out some wormwood and stuff coming up with the fourth trumpet. Fourth trumpet. Sun, moon, and stars goes dim. We talked about one thing for the sun to go dim, but it says the night is going to go dim. Now, can you comprehend what God is saying when dark isn't really dark? This is going to happen. We get to this trumpet. Fifth trumpet. Whoa! Remember that? Did I scare you? If you was here, you remember the angel saw this one. Now, it's one thing for God to send them through the sixth seal, then the seventh seal. It's another thing for them to go through the first four trumpets. But when the angel sees the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, he just screams in heaven. You remember in 1st chapter 8, we saw when God revealed the trumpets and the bowls, that heaven went silent for 30 minutes. It shook them up so bad they just went, they couldn't say nothing for 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden the angel is given, I'm going to give you the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. And the angel says, whoa. Most people go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's how they read it. That's on the East Side Church. Whoa. But when you get to reality, when the angel saw the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, when he saw the fifth, he said, whoa! He saw the sixth trumpet, he goes, whoa! Ah! And when he sees the seventh trumpet, he goes, ah! That's more of it. All right? You got to understand that. Why? Because the sixth trumpet leads to the seventh trumpet, and the seventh trumpet lasts 3.5 years throwing out the bowls. So as nothing's going to happen after the fifth trumpet that did not make the angel scream in surprise, and it's going to last for 3.5 years. Are we ready? Now, when we looked at the fifth trumpet, the reason why it was a woe is because up through the seven seals and the four trumpets, it was coming from God. It was all coming from God. It was coming from heaven, using things here on the earth for him to deal with man who has rejected him. But when we get to the fifth trumpet, my friend, God says, I'm going to get some more people involved. I'm going to turn it over to Satan. He gives the keys to Satan of the bottomless pit. And there are countless amounts of demons is going to come out of the pit. And he's going to turn them loose on human beings. And they have been ticked off because they've been locked up in that pit. Even other demons didn't want to have nothing to do with the demons that was locked up in the pit. We talked about that in the book of Luke. Awesome. Judgment. Sixth trumpet. Now, last week, we got into the sixth trumpet. Mankind killed by four angels. One third of all mankind is still alive is killed at this trumpet. Now, at the seal and the first of the trumpets, we had one third of the population killed. One third of the population that was left were killed. Now, one fourth. That's over one half of the world that's left after the rapture is going to be killed by this time, and they got 3.5 years left. Can't hear you. This is devastating. God. We are talking about God. Can I hear again, folks? Come on, come on, come on. We're talking about
God.
Say it with some emphasis.
God.
God. I mean, folks, when he steps in, no one tells him no. When he turned loose on his sixth trumpet, he said he turned the four angels loose. And I believe those four angels are demons because they're bound. None of God's angels that serve him is bound. These four angels are bound, and I think one angel represents each of the four kingdoms. The Babylonian kingdom, the angels turned loose. The Medes and the Persian kingdom angel who's helping Satan is going to be turned loose. The Greek angel that helped Satan is going to be turned loose. And the Roman Empire that was dispersed, never destroyed, that angel is going to be turned loose. And he's turned loose from the river Euphrates, representing where all sin starts, where all power to destroy God's plan is going to end. Awesome! If you missed that, get the tape. Amen? Bring you up to date. Also, I believe that this sixth seal, if it's not for the interference of God, China would be the fifth world power. I laid that out on you last week. Some of you, man, walked out of here with your tongues down. Your eyelids half closed and your brain cooking. Did any of you guys go and do any research on China as we got to talking last week? Let me give you some little bit more research. We talked about how important it is for you and I to understand and what happened in the last government of the last 8 years, and that you can see what they did with China helps Revelation chapter 9 come alive. 200 million soldiers. China, 3.6 million square miles. 1,217,600,000 people in China, and an army of 200 million is nothing out of a population of 1.2 billion. 20, 30, 40 years ago, we never would have believed that there would be an army of 200 million. And you, as I said, you may not believe it's China, but that's up to you. There's no other army in all the world. And God says that he's going to turn them loose, and they're going to be demon-possessed when he turns them loose on the world. You can't find anything about the United States in prophecy. And if it wasn't for God, who can stop an army of 200 million marching on the world? Read with me. Chapter 9. And the sixth angel, verse 13, chapter 9, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. This 200 million soldier army has been being prepared by God for a time. And when the sixth trumpet hit, God says, I'm going to release it on the world. Listen to this. And the four angels were loose who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. 200,000,000 is 200 million soldiers. And I heard the number of them. I'm not guessing. It's not like, you see in the book of Revelation, we walk through it, the word like is used a lot. Like this and like that, like ahead of a line, like this, like that. But he says, I heard the number. China is boasting of that same number about 20 years ago when they start boasting. We have now reached an army of 200 million. Atheistic in their view, non-believing in their view, do not know the scriptures of God, yet they have lined up with the scripture of God and have validated what God says. Isn't that like our God? Are you? Huh? You getting faith bumps? Check this out. Verse 17. And thus I saw the horses. We said, how is a man going to explain to his time in old biblical times the machinery and the amounts and the multitudes of people that he's going to explain to people of the Old Testament what he's looking at? He has to use things that they can understand. If you're looking at machinery, military machinery, they are horses. Look at that. In the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth, that's blue, and brimstone, which would be gray, could be yellow, could be black.
And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. I went and got some pictures for you to see what if God was bringing John as he's writing through the vision, and he looks and he passed over that army of 200 million, and he reflects the colors that he sees as he goes over them. Let me see those, bro. Wow! One of the armors of the old Chinese army that used to come through with dress like this. How would you explain that? Huh? But that's not good. That's just something I want to throw in for you. You know, make you relax a little bit. Now check this out. Modern army that he probably saw. Next picture. Boom. That's the army. This is almost 40-something years ago, folks. What colors do you see? Woo! Do you think John may have glimpsed a picture? Next picture. How about those horses? Who has fire coming out of their mouths? Oh, I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be amazing. Next picture. There's the blue. Next picture. There's the red. Ladies, you want to be equal? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious of the heart attack. You know that'll kill you quicker than anything in the drugstore. I believe that the sixth trumpet is none other than the nation of China. And without God's intervention, they will be the next world power. Because even the United States can't stop them. This very moment right now, if they start a war with us, we are through. And we better face it as a nation and call on God and thank him that he's limiting when he's going to turn them loose. There is some articles out right now, before I even preached, didn't even know it was out, just came out in the news, that they've said that they believe that China, by 2050, will be equal world power as the United States. I'm going to give you a secret. China don't want to be equal world power. Nobody wants to be equal in world power. Government established in an article that the next great threat to all freedom is not Russia, it's China. And some of the things you don't hear about or see in the news is being let out right now is Russia and China is going in a pact together. Did you guys know that? They're talking about, China is talking about taking over all of the coastal region of Russia. You know what that means? They're going to take over all fishing and natural resources of Russia. You want to control the world? Control the food. Can't hear you. Isn't it amazing how good the book of Revelation is? And how accurate God is. Listen to this. By these things, verse 18, three was the third part of man killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths and in their tails. There's a Greek mythology that talks about pestilence and plagues. And it says it has the head of a lion and has a tail like a serpent with a serpent's head. Plagues, pestilence. Do you understand what is going to be turned loose on the world? What's going to be turned loose on the world is not only world power God's going to allow. God's going to allow chemical warfare to be turned loose on the world. He's going to allow plagues and pestilence. Let me give you guys a little secret here. Have you heard, you know how upset Europe is? Can't hear ya. Anyone know how upset Europe is over a little disease called mad cow? Do you know what mad cow can do to the whole beef industry if it hits and left unchecked? It's gone. God says, I just want you to get a little taste. But what's coming in Revelation is going to be a little taste that you're getting stuffed on steroids. Are you glad you came today? Or are you just going out there going?
Hey, in the middle of all this, don't forget, we win. Can't hear you. It's only the non-believer that has to worry. If you are here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation, not later. Today. If I know a judge is coming and I got the opportunity to make him a friend now, jump on the bandwagon. Swallow your pride. Be smart. You know, they said pastors are a little schizophrenic. So they can be going all off and all of a sudden they just stop and smile. They say we're just bad actors. After all these things God's going to do, it says that man will not repent of his evil ways. Why? Because his heart's going to be hardened. And that brings us to chapter 10, verse 1. Read with me. After all these things, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. A lot of people think this is Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that. But I want you to use your Greek word here. It is not Jesus Christ. You go, Pastor, if you're going to say something like that, we have been taught here at this church to back up your words with Scripture. Okay. At least I can do one thing, and that is be consistent with my own preaching. Amen. I may not know a lot of other things, but I better be consistent with my own preaching. This is why I don't believe it is Jesus Christ. Verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel. Can't hear you. I saw another. I saw another. And other. Is this getting heavy? I know this doctrine can get to you sometimes. Let me see if I can break it down for you. We have a new members class, and we're just starting that on Wednesdays. Those of you that have been talking about coming, you better come. This is the last one for the year. Wednesday night, 6:30, new members class. But one of the things we go over in that class, when we get to the Holy Spirit, we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God in John 14 says, I'm going to send you another comforter. You remember those verses? I'm going to give you another comforter. And I really put a lot of emphasis on that. I say, how can you have another comforter if you haven't had the first comforter? Are you getting me? So if you're going to have another, meant there has been another before the another other. Oh, I may be losing you a little bit. So let's break it down so you can really understand. How can I have another nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if I hadn't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie? Huh? Are we getting heavy, dude? How can I have another nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if I haven't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie? Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, we see we're getting heavy duty here now. So how can I have another mighty angel if I haven't had a other? Go back to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 1. Check this out. And I saw in the right hand of him, verse 1, chapter 5, that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seal. We have already established in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, that the first mighty angel was not the angels with the seals, was not the angels that was coming with the trumpets. We have already established that it was a messenger angel, probably by the name of Gabriel. Gabriel. Gabriel, E-L, God. What does his name mean? the strength of God. Gabriel, a mighty angel with the strength of God, came. So we've already established that Gabriel is that. Now go back to chapter 10, and we see that there is another mighty angel. Now, Pastor, why is it that if you think that in chapter 5, verse 2, it's Gabriel, the mighty angel, why don't you think it's Gabriel in chapter 10, verse 1? Because of the little word, another, meaning a different one, and he comes with different attributes. Now, is that angel that has attributes that can remind you of it being Jesus Christ, but it's not? Hark! That's King James. Hark! Michael. Michael, the archangel. What does his name mean? Coincidence! His name means who is like God. Can't hear you, church! Is this smoking or what? Michael, the archangel, I believe, is the other angel that is going to come with some serious warning in this interlude. Look what he does. I mean, this boy is bad. But I want y'all to know something. This angel is bad, but he couldn't even deal with Satan. He can only rebuke Satan in the name of God. Can't hear you. Now, if this angel is bad and he couldn't deal with Satan and God's going to give Satan the keys to the pit to turn him loose on the world, what do you think it's going to be like to be here and not belonging to God? This is what he says. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Remember, God was with his people in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When the disciples, after the 50 days of the resurrection, Pentecost, and all those things happened, they were standing 50 days after this event. Do it like this. Amen. Why were they standing like that? Because Jesus was taken up in the clouds. And he says, why are you standing looking? He's going to come back the same way. Clouds represents God coming judgment. Coming with power and authority. And Michael came with a cloud because he is who is like God. And he had a rainbow around his head. Why? Because in the middle of that judgment is a promise. God says with the rainbow, now that's good news and bad news. Good news is God said, I'm never ever going to destroy the world again with water. That's the good news. The bad news is with fire next time. Can't hear you, folks. Now, that's good news and bad news. You can either be at the Winnie roast or the Winnie at the roast. And so that some of you out there going, well, I didn't know he was going to be talking like that. Let me give you a secret. I'd rather offend you now and make you mad at me but keep you from being a Winnie.
That pastor's a little bit sick, isn't he?
Huh? Check this out. He came with the rainbow. That some of the aspects of God was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun. What power is going to come down with my man, Michael? And his feet was like pillars of fire. And he's going to take the right foot. Check it out. He's going to take the right foot. Step on the sea. He's going to take the left foot. Put it on the ground. Now, I want to ask you guys, how big do you think he's going to be? You think he'll be a first-round draft choice? My boy is bad. Yo! Whoa! Yo, Michael, my man, I'm glad you're on my team, baby. Whoa! Now, you know, I can't comprehend the size of this angel, and he's created by God. You know what? You heard what the two hippies said, right? You hear what the two hippies was out in the middle of the ocean. They've been out there for days. One hippie looked at the other hippie after looking around and says, "Man, oh man, look at all that water." And the other hippie looked at him and says, "And that's just the top." My boy is bad. I just wanted to let you know, be encouraged. Because he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And I'm going to tell you next week what he is talking about and what's going to happen when he set his feet down. Because God.